Portland, 90.7 FM K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Nicole Weinstock.
And I'm Doug McVeigh. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, host Paul Rowland speaks with Wilbur Slokish, Jr., longtime Native fishing rights activist and traditional Klickitat chief, about coal and oil trains. At 9 on Political Perspectives, host Lisa Loving speaks with Duncan Berry of Fish People Seafood about certified B corporations and the movement of people using business as a force for good. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on The Dirtbag, host Glenn Anderson and guest Jim Gilbert talk about planting garlic and cover crops and, after the rains come, transplanting just about anything. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
And stay tuned now for the Union Edge.
Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company, that's for sure. Hey, folks, do us a favor. Please go to our website, www.theunionedge.com. Sign up for our e-activist newsletter. If you're local, your organization needs some help, we'll get the word out for you. If you're willing to help, we'll get the word to you. It's called Solidarity. We're all in this together, and we're all working real hard to improve our communities. And you know what? It's working. We're doing a good job with it. Right now, we're talking with Michael Grunewald, who's a senior writer for Politico. Michael, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Michael, bowing to unions, 2016 Dems skip Campbell Brown's Education Forum. Man, that Campbell Brown, I respect her as a reporter, but I've heard some of the things that she's saying about education and the unions. And I definitely cannot agree with her. And she's doubled down on some stuff that I know is not true.
Well, let's face it. I mean, maybe journalists aren't supposed to say this, but this is clearly one of those stories that's about the story, but is really about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a story that was about this forum that Campbell Brown and the Des Moines Register were putting together to discuss education, mm-hmm. and how none of the candidates, the Democratic candidates running for president, are going to go to it. But what it's really about is President Obama's education reforms and whether they will continue beyond the Obama administration. And this is particularly with Hillary Clinton, this is one of the kind of great unknowns. This is an area where President Obama really picked a fight with his own base. He agrees with the teachers' unions about a lot of things on education, about funding, about universal pre-K, about going after for-profit colleges. But on a lot of K-12 reform, he is definitely supports a lot of things that the unions really hate: charter schools, using test scores to evaluate teachers. And I think the fact that all of these candidates are blowing off Campbell Brown, who is, you know, big on K-12 education reform, is a sign that that they do not want to be on the side of President Obama on this one rare issue. But certainly on some of the work rules, he certainly portrays the sort of public school monopoly as this kind of entrenched bureaucracy that protects itself at the expense of children. And he's been very supportive of, and he's really led a kind of national revolution in removing caps on charter schools, in aggressive use of testing for evaluating schools, evaluating progress, evaluating students, and even evaluating teachers. And this is extremely unpopular. The Common Core is another example of something where President Obama pushed for the kind of higher standards. I remember in my stimulus book, I talked to Duncan, and he talked about how he was very excited because in Tennessee, the year before Obama took over, I think they had found that 92% of their kids were proficient in math. And then the year after they imposed their new standards, only 34% were proficient. But, of course, Duncan's point was that they weren't really proficient before. They were just lying to the children. So this is something that Obama has felt strongly about, that Duncan feels strongly about, that, Campbell Brown feels strongly about, too.
Right.
And the unions have pushed very hard against it, and it's a really rare issue where the president has been at odds with his base.
Well, there you go. Michael, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Thank you for being with us today. Thanks for going into education. It was a great conversation. But in the meantime, we've got to get going. So how do we find out more about you and Politico?
Oh, well, let's see. I'm on Twitter, at Mike Grunwald. The website is michaelgrunwald.com. And I had a book about the stimulus, the New Deal. And politico.com is where we... we're doing our stuff. Our public policy site is called The Agenda, and you can get to that through Politico.
Fantastic. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again soon. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I am flying solo today, guys. I'm hopping in here because, it's Friday, and I love to have fun on Fridays, and I love to be behind the mic on Friday because, let's be real, guys, whenever the girls take over on the show, that's when we have the most fun. Just don't tell Charles. And to help me have some fun right now, joining me, I have Deb Klein of the Cleveland Jobs of Justice. Deb, welcome back.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be here, and now you're not solo. I'm here with you.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm holding down the fort in here by myself. I'm all like kicked up. I got like my feet kicked up on the chair. I'm like leaning back, chilling. I'm like, it's Friday. Let's have some fun.
Yep, it's always a good thing. It's Friday. Hey.
Exactly. So what is going on, Deb?
Well, what I went on to talk about today, because this is a really good thing. There was a court ruling that came down this week. The Supreme Court has now said that home health care workers, and we've been talking about them off and on, are now no longer exempt under the minimum wage laws, and they are now going to be allowed. This is like, when I say allowed to be in the law so that they're going to be protected with the minimum wage laws, it's almost ironic, that I'm saying they're going to be allowed to now earn minimum wage because it's not nearly enough. But there was a lawsuit filed in federal court, and the home health care providers lost. And the Supreme Court said that, no, starting next week, home health care workers are no longer exempt from earning minimum wage. And they also will be earning overtime. And they will also be paid for the time that it takes them to travel to and from the home where they're providing services, which is great because now in some places they weren't even earning wages from the time for travel time, and in some cases it may take them an hour to get to the home where they're working. And this made me start to look at the minimum wage across the country and then also in Ohio, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, because I know that people probably are not aware that there are a lot of workers who are exempt from our current minimum wage laws. And until this week, home health care workers were among some that were in those classes. Because I know that we've been working here in Cleveland with the home health care workers, and I hear them telling their stories and hearing some of them say, well, I only make $8 an hour, where here in Ohio, our minimum wage is $8.10 an hour. So that's very alarming to hear that people are actually earning under the minimum wage, but that's because they were in a class that was not protected under the current laws. And there are many people and many workers that are not protected under the current laws.
So what are some of these loopholes, essentially, that someone can basically be allowed to be paid less than what is the state minimum wage?
Well, the federal minimum wage is set at $7.25 an hour, but it is for the employers that have two employees and receipts of $500,000 or more a year. Now, there are, and I looked them up because I know that you broadcast in heavily in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania. In Michigan, they have a new minimum wage law, and that's at $8.15 an hour. But again, it's only for employers that have two or more employees. So if there's someone who only has one employee, they're exempt from that law, so they can pay under $8.15 an hour. Now, the good thing with Michigan is they're going to gradually have an increase in their minimum wage, and it's going to go up to $9.25 in 2018. Now, that sounds really good. And then after 2018, they're going to adjust according to the Consumer Price Index, CPI. Now, the problem with it that I found is that anytime unemployment rate in Michigan goes up over 8.5%, they're not going to increase it.
Really?
So, yeah, I was reading that and I said, oh, so the one time when people really need to have a higher rate wage is the time when you're not going to increase it.
Yeah, really?
So, yeah, that seemed a little crazy. But the good news is that they are going to start raising their wage. Still, it's not enough. Of course, you know, we, Cleveland Jobs of Justice, Jobs of Justice nationally, and a lot of people feel that it should be raised to 15. Now, good old Pennsylvania, you guys have a lot of work to do.
We have a lot of work to do and a lot of things.
Your minimum wage is still at $7.25 an hour. And you have a lot of exemptions, farm workers, seasonal workers, minors, tipped workers, people that work for nonprofits or educational institutions. They can apply for exemptions. So the people in Pennsylvania need to really start working on, and I know that there are people there that are working trying to raise the wage in Pennsylvania. Here in Ohio, it's at $8.10. We actually did a constitutional amendment back in 2006. The reason why we did a constitutional amendment, because if we just did a ballot initiative, the legislature could overturn it, and then we would have never had the increase in the wage. Ours is based on the Consumer Price Index. It raises according to the CPI. Now, unfortunately, we've already learned that the CPI is flat this year, so we're not going to get a raise in January. It's going to stay at $8.10, which is kind of unfortunate. Again, it's kind of hard to live on $8.10 an hour. And we do not have any types of exemptions other than agriculture workers here. And agricultural workers are exempt across the country. So Ohio is a little better, but not a whole lot better because our wage is not going to be increased. So it's really all the states have different types of laws. And then if they do not have a different law, then, of course, we have the federal minimum wage. But it's crazy. It's just across the board.
That makes it really difficult.
All these different wages.
Yeah, it makes it really difficult to keep track of who's being paid what where, but at the same time with so many exemptions. I wasn't really aware that there were so many exemptions to it, because you just kind of think this is the minimum wage. Well, this is the minimum wage, and it's the minimum you have to pay someone. It just kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Right, and that's, so, you know, when you hear people say, well, if you hear a figure that's under minimum wage, then it is true, because a lot of times people say, well, we have laws, you have to earn a certain amount of money. Well, no, there are exemptions. And of course, tipped workers they do not earn the minimum wage. And again, there are different wage amounts for tipped workers. Ohio's tipped worker minimum wage is pretty generous. It's $4.05 an hour.
Oh, wow, that's really good.
But then, of course, they have to deduct out of their tips because they're supposed to keep track of their tips, and then they deduct the wages out of the amount of the tips. So they still get, it's almost, I used to be a salesperson, and you have something called commission against wage, and you lose your, even though you're working and you get an hourly rate, you have to sell enough to cover that. Mm-hmm. So, it's very difficult for someone, a tipped worker, to get ahead It's impossible to live on what we're currently paying someone on a minimum wage. That's why it's so important for us, for everyone, to keep working and pushing for us to raise the wage to 15, because then it's no longer a minimum wage. It now becomes a living wage.
Yes, that's very true. And we really do need to keep raising this and keep pushing this bar. And that's why we have groups like the Fight for 15 out there, really just hammering and knocking down doors and making it known that, you know what, we are here. We're not going away. We want $15 an hour. We want our rights. We want workplace protections. And you can't live on what you're paying us. So I'm really glad that, you know, we've got some insight here, and we can talk about this a little bit more and kind of let people know that, you know, it's not necessarily what it seems like on the surface. And this is another reason why we need to raise this, and we need to look at it and take care of it and stop the loopholes and just try and, you know, help people out, because we're not going to further ourselves if we don't help, like, other people.
That's exactly right. And you know who keeps making the money? Those are the corporations that are against raising the wage. They keep getting richer while everyone else keeps getting poorer. And that's the one thing we need to remember.
Exactly. And on that note, Deb, real quick, before we got to run, how can we find out more about what you guys do at Cleveland Jobs of Justice?
You can find us on the web at clevelandjwj.org. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/clevelandjwj or on Twitter at CLEJWJ.
Awesome. As always, thank you so much, Deb. That was Deb Klein of the Cleveland Jobs of Justice. I'm Brittany Sheets, and you've been listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
The time is 6 o'clock, and you are tuned in to KBOO Portland 90.7. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Red Umbrella film series, hosted by the Clinton Street Theater. This month, Inside Her Sex,